This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman Michael Burgess from the Lone Star State's 26th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. That's the committee that is demanding that executives from several major companies like AT&T, Caterpillar, John Deere, and many others come before Congress with internal documents to prove that the health care bill that was recently signed into law will actually cost them tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, because the bill no longer allows them to take tax exemptions for providing prescription drugs for retirees. We also want to get the congressman's thoughts on the president's statement today regarding offshore drilling. And Congressman, it's great to have you with us.
Well, great to be with you guys.
Well, I should also point out to our listeners that you're a medical doctor, so this healthcare debate is something you've been closely affiliated with for many, many years now. But in terms of what these companies are saying, that they are going to have to post significant costs for the first quarter of this year in order to absorb what's happening here with these tax exemptions no longer being there for prescription drugs, the members of the Democratic Party upon Capitol Hill saying, you got to prove this to us. They don't seem to believe it. What's the reality inside this bill?
Well, first off, I was not in favor of this hearing being held. I don't think this was the time to do it, and it does, whether it's right or wrong, it does look like intimidation of the productive sector of American society one more time. So I am concerned about the timing and the scope of the hearing. It really is a little bit like firing a warning shot at a jaywalker. I don't know that it was necessary to come with this heavy a bludgeon. And it's a big deal to be called before a committee on subcommittee on oversight and investigations. You have to testify under oath. You have to bring a lawyer. The whole world is watching. So it is a big deal. Now, there are plenty of people who will argue that, well, maybe these tax breaks are something that the company shouldn't have gotten in the first place, and it was appropriate to take them back. That may be, but nevertheless, the way they're taken back, it is going to affect their earnings, and they do have a fiduciary duty to their stockholders to let people know if something substantially changes, it's going to affect their bottom line and alter their earnings statement. So I think in many ways they were likely just being compliant with laws that we Congress have already set out for them. And to them, haul them in and interrogate them because they complied with the law seems a little bit over the top.
And just in the last day or two, the White House, I believe it was through Valerie Jarrett, the president's advisor, saying these companies aren't trying to make a political statement. They have to report what their statements are for the first quarter, and that's why they're making these statements. It's not a fact of them trying to undermine the health care law now that it's been approved. So how do you expect this to play out? Do you expect now the Democrats to go a little bit easier on these executives, maybe even postpone or cancel the hearings, or will this be a major event up on the Hill?
Well, I've wondered if that is exactly what will happen, that the hearings will be postponed, and then that postponement will essentially become an indefinite postponement, which is essentially a cancellation. Look, there's plenty of things we should be looking into. We are the principal oversight subcommittee for the United States Congress. We have not had one hearing on things happening within the administration itself, which is in stark contrast. The 2 years prior, when the Democrats controlled the majority in Congress and President Bush controlled the White House, we were constantly pulling people down from the White House and having them justify this or that. We've not had one instance where we've questioned anyone at the White House, and here we've got all these secret deals that went into crafting this health care legislation. And maybe it would be nice to exert a little bit of oversight and ask a few questions as to whether or not everything was done properly. But we seem indifferent to that. And at the same time, if heaven help us if a corporation does what they think is the right thing, but it strikes the chairman of my committee the wrong way, he's going to haul them in and put them in the docks.
Congressman, what have you heard from business owners in your district? How much is this aspect of the bill or perhaps other aspects of the bill going to change the way they have to set up their business?
Well, I haven't heard anything about the restatement of earnings. I do know that during the summertime, I did a series of small business roundtables about the various things that were being proposed, and it does make small and medium-sized business nervous when you start talking about things like an 8.5% payroll tax, when you start talking about things that, even though we're not calling it an employer mandate any longer, it clearly is for certain size businesses. every doctor's office, of course, is a small or medium-sized business, and they're all faced now with a medical device tax for Class 2 and Class 3 medical devices. Band-Aids are exempt, but syringes are not. This is going to affect their businesses in a big way, I rather suspect. So this bill was so poorly designed and so poorly, the process was so terribly flawed that we're going to be finding out things for the next months and even years about some of the bad things that were hidden in this bill. So it really should come as a surprise to no one that here we are 2 weeks into it and we're coming up with things that are, you know, variously could be judged as significant bad news.
Another major issue, of course, for both parties is the energy debate and the need for greater domestic supplies of energy. The president today surprising a lot of people by saying he wants to expand areas offshore that will be accessible for energy exploration, including off the Atlantic coast, the Gulf coast, and even off the coast of Alaska in certain places. Your House leader, John Boehner, saying this is not as impressive as the president would like to make it seem, that most areas that are off limits will stay off limits. What's your sense of how significant this is today?
Well, we'll have to see the follow through. It's clearly a shift in administration policy, and one that I welcome. I think we have been awfully short-sighted since the Democrats took control in 2007, and our energy policy has been extremely short-sighted, and the president really seemed to be walking things back at an even brisker pace. So I'm encouraged by this. I don't quite understand why the sudden shift, whether it's the state of the economy or they see some other significant economic bad news just over the horizon, and they're trying to blunt that. Maybe they're looking for a way to pay for their health care bill. I don't know, but I welcome the fact that we are willing to acknowledge the fact that we do need to consider offshore drilling as far as our nation's energy portfolio. After 14 or 15 months, I've learned to be suspicious of the motives coming out of the White House. They're not always as pure as they seem.
Well, one of the ideas being thrown out there is that the president wants to get his version of energy reform passed, better known as cap and trade, and he figures he might be able to siphon off enough Republican votes to get that done in a final version by saying, look, I'll meet you this far on offshore drilling if you'll come alongside with me and try to reduce carbon emissions.
There's different ways, I think, that they would go about it if that were their trajectory, but it's always been the trade part of cap and trade that has really frightened people when they start to look at it. An energy tax would be a bad thing in the middle of a recession, but if you put a cap on carbon emissions, American ingenuity and American industry will find a way around that. We as ratepayers and consumers will be paying a higher price, but industry will conform to those government demands. The cap and trade bill itself, the whole concept that we're going to start selling futures of carbon, tons of carbon dioxide, I mean, that's the ultimate blue sky product. And if we thought Bernie Madoff made out like a bandit, just wait till you start selling futures in tons of carbon dioxide, products that no one can taste, feel, or see. It is just ripe for exploitation.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Great. Thank you.
Texas Congressman Michael Burgess, also a medical doctor, represents his state's 26th congressional district. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.